Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Boat Briefing. I'm Holly Majerison, and joining me is our resident news sleuth and font of all industry knowledge, Dale Yousafi. We'll be unpacking all the big stories from Cannes, from the numbers behind the show to the yachts that had everyone talking, before looking ahead to Monaco, where some spectacular new launches are getting ready to make their debut. And because no Boat Briefing would be complete without a little detour into our highs and lows, we'll also share the best spots on the docks to snag a canapé or two. Plenty to dive into, so let's get started. With me today is our very own news anchor, Daya.
Hello, everyone. Very excited to be here.
And we're very happy to have you. So this actually isn't the first time we're on microphone recently. We are the, emphasis on the, news anchors.
You might have seen us all over social media. We were quite the celebrities.
We were. Yeah. So we had a little mini series in Cannes last week where we basically sat down at the start of each day and I would ask Daya what the news of the day was. Mm-hmm. What yesterday's news was, and basically what the hot topics on the docks were.
Yeah. And Holly divulged a little bit about the fun things she was doing. Fun work, of course.
But... yeah. Day is basically saying, I did absolutely no work. I just like to talk about all the fun things that I was doing. So that's great. So between us, I'd say we've just about recovered from the Cannes Yachting Festival. And before we dive headlong into Monaco, we thought we'd bring you along for a ride. The Cannes debrief, some personal highlights, and a look at what to expect in Monaco next week. So all very exciting. So Daya, this was my very first Cannes. You're the seasoned one. You went last year. How did it compare to last year?
Yeah, that is a good question. I would say it felt busier, but less chaotic, if that makes sense. There was a bit more confidence. I felt like last year you could sense that everyone was testing the waters. There was a bit of hesitancy, I think, because of obviously all the market troubles and the difficulties we were facing last year. But I didn't feel that at all this year. Everyone was upbeat. You could feel it on the docks and the press conferences, just when talking to people. It was really, really nice energy. And exhibitors were almost shocked, actually, at how strong sales were. So really good start to the European season.
Yeah, absolutely. It's... there's definitely a confidence there. I mean, for me, Cannes felt almost digestible compared to the other boat shows that I've done. So compared to FLIBS, that's obviously the supersized America boat show, whereas Cannes just felt much more digestible and much more manageable. Although anybody that saw me doing the Instagram stories morning welcomes will have seen me basically play flight attendant to try and tell people where to locate our stand. So I was saying, you know, please turn left, then right, then follow the red carpet, the blue carpet along, and then you'll find jetty 116. So it proved, you know, it was useful for me as it was for everyone else in actually just locating.
Well, you're a wonderful online editor, but I think you'd also make a wonderful flight attendant. I'm sure you did a fantastic job. But you're right, Cannes is still walkable. I've never done the American side of things, but I can imagine. But to be honest, the number of premieres made it feel big, you know, the European kickoff show.
Absolutely. And the numbers prove it. So there were 711 boats, 677 exhibitors, 147 world premieres, 56,000 visitors. San Lorenzo's Massimo Perotti said that sales were beyond expectations with their new SL110, SX120 and SD132 all going down a storm.
Yeah, and it wasn't just San Lorenzo. So we got some of the feedback from Benetti, Pearl Yachts, Ferretti Group. Everyone I spoke to was feeling momentum, which is a relief given the tariff wobbles and everything we were dealing with earlier this year.
So obviously, another big theme was sustainability, with two of the biggest pieces of the show being the introduction of two hybrid models.
Yep, we saw two hybrid standard models announced in Cannes alone, which was really encouraging. That was the Pearl 100 Hybrid and the Benetti B Neos. And when I was at the Pearl conference, actually, I had the chance to speak to Ian Smallridge, the founder. And he explained that by removing the premium add-on of installing hybrid propulsion, yards might be able to encourage even more owners to sort of go green and make that step. which would be fantastic for the industry, obviously.
Absolutely. And it's nice to see that it's not just the big boys like Almax and Breakthrough. It's obviously the hybrid is entering the mid-size segment as well.
Yeah, the Pearl 100 hybrid, I think, is 29 or so meters. So it's becoming more accessible. It's encouraging for the market going forward, definitely.
Absolutely. So those are the changes that we love to see in the industry as well. Okay, so news anchor, press conferences aside, what were your personal highlights?
Okay, I'm going to start with a press conference.
Of course, that's where you spent all your time.
Yep. But it was a really cool press conference. So I toured, Cadadia. So we weren't sure how to pronounce this.
So we've actually just looked on, we just Googled quickly and went on Google Translate, like the voice note part.
Yeah, I think it was actually SpanishDictionary.com.
Oh, was it?
Okay. It's a Spanish name and we want it to be authentic.
So we've just rehearsed how to say this. So we'll do it together.
Yeah.
Okay, so Cadadia.
So now that's all that plays in my head whenever I think about it or look at the yacht or do anything. So Cadadia. There was this really cool interactive presentation that was done on board. It's a Benetti. So Benetti announced the flagship installment in their Oasis line. It's the 42 meter. Cadadia is a 40 meter, but they invited us on board. We got to tour this beautiful yacht and there were renderings of the new model sort of scattered throughout. The designers were there, exterior and interior. And we just got a chance to just speak to everybody, see it up close and just get talked through the model in a really fun and different way. I thought it was,
It's nice when they present the information in a bit of a different way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great marketing.
It was. Great marketing, 100%. And I think, what would my other highlight be? Oh, okay. I met Charles Leclerc. I hope I've done his name justice there. But I did meet him very briefly. But my highlight was camping outside the Wally stand with Gabby, our business editor, because we knew he was on a yacht waiting for him to come off so we could introduce ourselves.
Yeah.
That was
yeah, I'm incredibly jealous of this
and
can't believe that I missed out on this. Yeah. Where was my message?
You got a message.
To be fair, I got a message from somebody else in the industry saying that he was there and, you know, to get there quickly if we wanted to get an exclusive, maybe try and interview him himself. And so I dropped everything that I was doing, ran practically across the boat show. I would say we got there within 5 minutes of me receiving that message. And I went with our head of social, Naomi. And as I got there, I was told that he'd actually already left. I just missed him, apparently. And that he was private jetting back to Monaco for his lunch.
See, that's classic Charles. And I can say that now because I've...
Oh, you're on a first name basis.
First name basis. Yeah. So he told me about his plans. I couldn't make it. You know, I was busy with work, but... Yeah, I would say that was a highlight because, I mean, in what other industry can you do that, you know? It's just like these little moments, I think, that make it so fun. So
definitely. These are the perks of the job for sure.
Yeah. While that was a very big perk, I know you did something incredibly cool that I am jealous of. So I think it evens out. Do you want to tell me?
Okay. I'd say probably evens out. Yes, I was fortunate enough to be invited to step on board Black Pearl as a bit of a media tour. So, yeah, it's a bit of a bucket list thing, I guess, to do.
Yeah. I was desperate to do this, by the way. And I did ask her if she could squeeze me on as a plus one, but it was so exclusive that they could only allow two people. And, of course, social media takes a priority. So I had to wave sadly.
Oh, goodbye. Next time I'll make sure it's you that gets on first. But, yeah, I mean, we've already discussed Black Pearl many times on the podcast before, but she is quite something. She's obviously instantly recognizable with those three masts. So before I even got to the show, I saw that our US editor Cecile actually spotted her from the plane coming into Nice. So you know, she got a great picture and a great video from above. So yeah, it was a press tour split between the captain and the crew.
Yeah, and you got to see those interiors. I mean, we have the images on our website and they're incredible, but I just can't imagine what it was like.
I mean, yeah, seeing them in person was just totally different to the images. You know, overall impression is she's just dripping in gold, this neoclassical design, ornate wood, silk carpets. obviously, just a tribute to Louis the 14th, I think. I hope I've got that right. She has got a really cool wellness area, which you step into as well. We stepped on board kind of into the wellness area. She's got this hammam, the massage room, the gym, the beach club. And then it's also got in this kind of lounge area, she's got this fiber optic night sky, which is actually supposed to replicate the Rotterdam constellations on the day of her launch.
Oh, that's a really lovely touch. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's quite impressive. And then, you know, other takeaways, she's obviously got this formal dining room that seats 18, and it's got lots of mahogany paneling, the fold-down balcony, and then just so much light pouring through the full height windows, mm-hmm. which I really don't think that the imagery, it just doesn't justice. Do it justice.
Yeah. Yeah,
no.
I can imagine.
So that's really impressive. I quite liked, unsurprisingly.
I already know what you're about to say.
The 4,000 bottle wine cellar. There mm-hmm. it is, of course. That's a Holly Majerison favorite. And it's absolutely, I mean, maybe this is just common sense, but it was so icy cold in there. And then it really contrasted to, because you'd step out of there and we went to another part of the yacht and it had underfloor heating. So you kind of, nice. You're overstimulated yeah. basically on this yacht wherever
you love
go.
It.
But you love it. Mm. Yeah. Overstimulated in all the yeah. right ways.
That's Black Pearl in a nutshell.
Absolutely. I also really liked, you know, that the owner's study has this Napoleonic desk. And right above it is the skylight, which is framing the mast.
Oh, that's cool.
So, I mean, I'm hoping that any charter guests that are on board Black Pearl are not doing any work. But if you did happen to find yourself there
yeah.
typing away on this Napoleonic desk.
Yeah, you're still spoiled a little bit.
You're spoiled a little bit. You're getting a view yeah. of the exterior and of the mm-hmm. mast. So, yeah, that was very cool. There's obviously, like, all the exterior details as well.
Yeah.
There's, you know, a standard on a yacht now at the pool, but it's got a jet stream in it. And this also converts into a dance floor, which is
that's a cool feature. Yeah, there aren't that many yachts with that feature, I think. No. But it's fun. I like it. Like day to night, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. And obviously we didn't see it being converted, but yeah. Hey, look.
Trust it works.
I trust it works. And if anyone would like to invite me back as a charter guest, you know, I'm happy to try out my dance moves yeah, exactly. on that dance floor.
Exactly.
Say no more. They also, so the trip was organized by IYC, who is her charter central mm-hmm. agency now. So they hosted lunch there, which was super great because Naomi and I quite often don't get lunch.
Yeah.
None of us do throughout a show. Sorry, not just exclusively the two of us.
I'm over here stuffing my face yeah. on the docks.
It's because I know what we're going to be talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, no, you're right. Sorry, save it.
But yeah, we had some delicious, like a light lunch. So we had some grilled octopus, some padron peppers. Just delicious.
Sounds gorgeous.
Yeah.
Padron peppers, were they stuffed with anything or were they grilled? What was
they? They were not stuffed.
Sorry, because sometimes you know they stuff them with cheese. That's like my personal favorite.
I have not had a stuffed padron pepper before.
With cream cheese, guys.
Oh my God. Yeah. Okay. Top I'm tip. Doing it all wrong. I'm going to the wrong places. Black Pearl, could never.
Where was the cream cheese Black Pearl?
Yeah. I'll make up. Sure to give yeah. some notes to the chef. And then, you know, also, unfortunately, I didn't actually get to go up in the crow's nest, but it's so cool. It's this, you know, the crow's nest has this motorized seat on the foremast, and it rises. I need to look at what this is in meters, but in feet, it rises 190 feet. So I can only imagine the panoramic views. I think you have to be quite brave to go
up. This is what I was going to say. You said you were sad you didn't get to go in it. Would you have been able to go in it?
Well, I did hint at it to the crew member that was showing us round, and I was thinking I would quite like to do that. It'd be great social footage.
I mean, yeah. from the things you do for the job.
The things you do. But I mean, I'm also, I'm a little bit scared of heights. As I said last week on the podcast with Eric Vonk, the owner of Skin Tillamaris. There's also a crow's name drop. There's also a crow's nest there, and there's no lift. You just have to climb the step ladder. And I think I'd get halfway up and then
my hands are sweating hearing you speak about it. So.
Yeah, I think it's maybe for the braver amongst us. but yeah, overall, just a super impressive yacht, and you know. What else can I say? There's too much to say. She's actually, the sail itself is...
Lest we forget.
Lest we forget. So she's got 360-meter-plus carbon masts, which is the world's largest diner rig. that actually creates 2,934 square meters of sale, which I like this little nugget of information. That actually equates to about 1.5 football pitches.
See, that's science. That's evocative because I can't do the math in my head.
No, it's quite hard to actually imagine how big 2,934 square meters is.
Yeah.
And what's even more impressive about that is it can unfurl in under 7 minutes. So they gave us a demo during the tour.
Really? Okay. Yeah.
That is just too impressive to me. So yeah, a great yacht to go on board, and I'm feeling very lucky to have been able to witness it all.
Yeah, absolutely. It sounds brilliant. And I know, obviously, you had a completely different type of sailing experience later on in the week, didn't you?
I did, yes. So yeah, I feel like I bagged the good ones last week, but had a great time. My first time sailing on Oysters Lush, which is a 27-meter beauty owned by Richard Hadida. So he was hosting us on board, and it was with the new CEO, Stefan Zimmermann. Mm-hmm. I hope that I've got his name right there. My pronunciation is probably not great, but he was there too. So it was such an exhilarating experience. Literally, there was salt spray everywhere. At one point, I thought I'd never get a hairbrush through my hair again. But it was great, really great to meet the new Oyster CEO, hear about his vision. I felt a bit cruel actually at one point because he told me that he was only 5 days into the role. And there I am trying to do an interview with him in the midst of sailing as well. Chaos, can I just
absolute
add?
Chaos, what a trooper.
What a trooper. I've listened back to the voice recording with him, and I've got to say I don't know how much of it is legible because the wind is just completely wiped out.
I can picture any of the audio. Clearly. It's so funny.
And also, I didn't expect, I mean, I've not been sailing on a yacht like that before, mm-hmm. so I didn't expect it to heal quite as much as it did, which obviously just adds to the thrill of the whole experience. But let me tell you, I was clinging on for dear life.
There's a thin line between thrill and terror.
Absolutely, yeah. Richard, the owner, was also telling us stories about co-owning Lush with the late Eddie mm-hmm. Jordan. So mm-hmm. it was honestly very moving. And, you know, he told us that he's not selling her because of the memories. And he's actually very excitingly taking her on the Oyster World Rally next year.
That's really lovely. And just quite a nice contrast in the two trips you've taken. I feel like one yacht, it's future focused, high tech. And then the other one, it's just about legacy and friendship and just this really lovely time, I guess, on the water.
Right? Yeah, absolutely. And if you think about like one of these yachts is like the wow factor in terms of its 105 meters of just pure grandeur.
Yeah.
And then going sailing, getting the action and the thrill on a 27-meter yacht. Yeah, polar opposites and both just incredible experiences, and I'm very grateful for everybody that I hosted, so thank you. But I actually have to give a big shout out. Honestly, you can win me over with food very, very easily. So on board the Oyster Lush, we were served some delicious chicken Caesar wraps, and when I tell you, it was just the perfect chicken Caesar wrap. There was a bit of crunch in there. Mm-hmm. And that's not just from the lettuce. I feel like they must have put some sort of crouton in there. Ooh. I don't know. It was delicious. And the actual Caesar dressing, perfect. The whole thing.
You can't see right now, but I'm like biting my nails. She tells the story. Like, it sounds absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah.
Crucial question. Bite-sized or full wrap?
A full wrap.
Ooh.
But.
No, that's a win.
No, it's a win. But I actually don't always enjoy it when you go to a supermarket and you get a wrap and there's so much content in there. You've got to navigate.
Falling,
and it's all coming out and it's like not very.
Yeah. You're trying to look elegant and.
Yeah.
There's
a way of eating those wraps. No, this was actually very, very manageable. It was good.
Well, you know what? That's also one of my highlights. I mean, the canapés are always like the talking point at shows. And you are judged very heavily by the canapés you offer, I just want to say.
Yeah, that's just a note to the industry.
People are talking.
It's a big talking point on the DigiTeam desks. We've actually published an article this year on the digital team's most anticipated parts. Most anticipated parts of the Monaco Yacht Show.
Yeah.
And we've all been very polite and said, you know, we're very excited to see this yacht and that yacht. that we are. But let me tell you, if we were giving an honest review of our most anticipated moments for the boat shows,
it's the nibbles.
It's the nibbles.
It's the nibbles.
It's the canapes.
Yeah. So I will take the opportunity now to shout out Golfcroft for their press breakfast. It was gorgeous. It was indulgent. It was just a feast. I'll just list a couple of things. Okay, really quick.
So not just a feast for the eyes, a feast for the belly.
Yes, that's good. Yes. deep fried Nutella filled mini donuts, firstly. Amazing.
Oh my God.
Secondly, sun-dried tomato feta sandwiches, cooked ham paninis, chocolate filled muffins. I could go on. I've stuffed my face several times in this podcast. I'm sorry, but I did. And it was gorgeous. So thank you.
And you know what? There's no judgment here.
Thank you.
We're all in this industry. We're all foodies at the end of the day.
Yeah.
It's all part of the yachting lifestyle.
Absolutely. And also it's a survival thing at the end of the day.
It is. Absolutely. And I think we all need to take a page out of your book because you've got to eat where you can.
Yeah.
I actually interviewed Giorgio Cassetta at one point and I asked him, my final question was, what is your ultimate boat show survival tip? And a beat didn't drop. He just said, eat. Always eat where you can. And perfect timing because his stomach rumbled at that exact
moment. You know, that's what he was thinking. Yeah.
He was probably sat there for that 10-minute interview with me thinking, oh my God, just wrap this up now.
Yeah, so I can get my cooked ham paninis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'd love to know where he's getting his lunch. So actually, Giorgio, if you could let us know.
Second interview pending.
Yeah. Absolutely. So that is the can debrief.
Yeah.
Done. But not a moment to spare because next week, it's the big boy.
It's the big boy.
Monaco, she's upon us.
She's upon us and we're kind of ready for her.
I'd say that we're pretty gearing up.
We're getting there.
We're gearing up. I feel like there's not much time to rest. It's kind of, everyone says, oh, you get that week in between to rest. No, you get a week in between to rally.
Yeah.
That's all you've got to do. Rally.
Rally the troops.
Rally the troops.
Morale, steal them. I can't even.
The full shebang.
I've lost the will to speak.
I know we have to rally anymore.
Yeah.
Just ourselves. But we're all super, super excited. And obviously, the headline is FedShip's 119-meter breakthrough, which is the hydrogen fuel cell yacht, has just been sold.
Woo.
So very exciting. But now it's kind of, well, I'm saying she might not attend. Our research director and data intel, Raf, is convinced that she's just outright cancelled.
And he is genuinely almost always right in all cases. I'm going to say that now.
Yeah. I don't know why I think I've got the authority to come on here and question that. But I just have a sneaking suspicion. I mean, she's going to be exclusively for charter with Edmiston.
Yeah.
So
hopefully they'll trot her out.
Yeah. Hopefully she just...
I feel like it's good little linking. It's like we've got this it's a feeling in our hearts because we want to see her so badly. But
absolutely.
We'll
yeah. I mean, it's too exciting. But if she doesn't attend, that actually means that there will be no 100 meter plus yachts in. Now, I'm going to butcher the name of this as well. I can feel
Go
it.
On.
And I'm actually quite nervous to do this because there's so many people that listen to the podcast that live in Monaco. And obviously the whole industry knows how to say this. I think it's just me.
But we're British, so that's...
We're British.
We don't know.
Forgive
don't
me.
Know.
So would you say it's...
we can't even get past port.
So port Hercule?
Hercule. I think it's Hercule.
Okay.
No, I don't think that.
So
I don't know.
Basically what Daya said, but there'll be no 100 meter plus yachts there this year berthed in the show. Obviously at Anchorage is a different matter.
Yeah. That means that the current front runner is Luna, an Ocean Cove, 90 meters. She's the largest and the most expensive yacht at the show. So well done to her. she's a personal favorite of mine, honestly. So I'm really fond of Ocean Coves on the whole. Because they're often a bit more experimental with their exterior design, if I may say that. Mm-hmm. And I just think Luna, she's glothy. She's, what did I just say? Did I just say glothy? Okay, listen. I was like panicking about how to pronounce life.
You know what you're going to enjoy even more? We're still recording right now.
Perfect. Okay, let's really just push through.
Push through.
Shark-like. No, honestly, she's great. So huge shout out to Luis de Basto because I think he's wonderful at what he does.
Absolutely. I'm also very excited to see her. So then also fleet numbers are slightly down. So there's 111 yachts compared to 118 last year. Total GT is also lower, but we still have 27 debuts. So FedShip's 79.5 meter Valor will be the biggest. Mm-hmm. I'm quite excited about that actually, because Bannenberg and Raoul themselves have actually teased a little bit on Instagram. I saw that they put as their caption something like, it's their most exciting or their best.
You were telling
they
me
said
about
their
this.
Best interior design mm-hmm. yet. And they said, you know, like, you heard it here first.
Yeah. So got to get on board.
Got to get on board. And also I want to speak to them and hear all about the design. So we've got, yes, Valor, and then we've got Admiral's Amalia.
Yeah, that's is that the blue hulled one? That
one's I think
very
so,
pretty.
Yeah. And then After You as well. Mm-hmm. We've also got Perini Navi's Katana and a whole spread of mid-sized premiers. We've got Darman's Emotional.
Which I know you like.
I love this because, I mean, what a great name. Darman Support Yacht Emotional. Emotional support. Has anybody else clocked onto this? Because it actually took me a while. And then
when you did,
I saw it written down
in every chat.
I did actually put it into every chat.
Yeah.
I was like, guys, how clever is
it? It is. To be fair, I hadn't picked up on it until you pointed it out. It's very cute. I like it too.
Look, just here to serve the industry with the insider's knowledge. What can I say?
And interestingly, actually, Darman announced a sale of the fourth YS53 this week, which is the series it belongs to. So obviously it's going to be very popular. We'll have a few more emotional support vessels on the water in no time.
Absolutely. Yeah. Exciting.
And I think, what else? Oh, yeah. In the lineup of new yachts making their debut, we have Soulmates.
Mm-hmm. Heeson.
One of many. There's been quite a few under that name. Tankoa's, let me try. Loewe?
Like
it's the luxury,
brand.
Yeah. It's owned by the luxury fashion house, and we can say that it is officially owned by them because they launched a pair of their limited edition headphones on board.
Oh, yes, yeah. Right. Yeah.
And then Golden Yachts is Omad Line, of course, which is a beautiful yacht.
So those are the new yachts making their debut. But I also love, you know, the other yachts making their Monaco debut. So we've got Boardwalk. We've got multiple fun features about her, which I will leave the link below to. But this Boardwalk is always a popular yacht with yacht spotters around the world. We've also got Regina d'Italia, which is reportedly got connections to Dolce & Gabbana. Yeah. There's also Wedge 2, Lady Marina, Mirala. It's such a blend. Heritage yachts like Mirala alongside futuristic cats like Reduce.
Yeah, that's what's so wonderful about the show. And so even though we lose a record breaker in Breakthrough, there's just still so much variety and there's so much to see. And also a bit of trivia for you. Another classic FedShip, Lady Beatrice, has just been listed. So although there is a nice mix, it's actually a very nostalgic Monaco this year, which I'm quite fond of. I love a classic yacht.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think it's great to get on board some of those as well. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, to mix it up and get on board some of the new ones, get on board some of the vintage or older ones.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's quite interesting to see how different design cues have evolved or changed, or how actually many of them still carry through to today's designs.
Absolutely.
So before we wrap up Monaco, I thought it might be nice to look at three standout yachts this year: Magic, Soulmates, and Energy. I've chosen these because we have three incredible yacht reports on them in the October issue. So if you want to read more, I will leave the link below. But we will just dive into a few of the details of each of these yachts. So if we perhaps start with Vitta's 44.3 meter sloop Magic.
Mm-hmm.
She was designed for a former racer seeking calmer family cruising.
Yeah, and naturally, she is very high performance. So she has a Southern Spars carbon rig. She has some Harken winches, push-button sail handling, and then all of this culminates into a 10 to 11 knots upwind and 14 to 16 knots maximum speed.
Impressive. So it's also got some really great deck and guest spaces. It's got, you know, the alfresco dining, that sun-warmed teak, the recessed lounge diner, the tender crane, the midship's boarding ladder for grandchildren. For the owner's grandchildren, I should say.
Yeah, and the interiors as well are really, really beautiful. So they are the work of Design Unlimited and Pieter Lauries. Warm tones, nubuck leather, timber, that skylight, of course, which just fills the whole space with natural light, and 360-degree views, which is really impressive. And then moving into the living spaces, we have a full beam, owner's suite, walk-in wardrobes, a study, and a bottocino. I hope that was good. Marble in the ensuite.
Beautiful. And then, you know, in terms of crew comfort, it's got the same finishes as guest areas.
That's nice.
Yeah. Which is something quite interesting, I'd say. Quite bespoke. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's move across to the 55-meter Heesen Soulmates. So she's actually a refined evolution of all the previous 55-meter platforms, and she's tailored for family life.
Mm-hmm. And Omega Architects has returned on the exterior as always. And it has this sort of, it's evolved, but it has the signature continuous tinted glass, shark tooth wheelhouse overhang, just for this almost predatory, but really, really striking look when she's on the water.
Absolutely. And in terms of performance, she reaches a top speed of 15.5 knots. Her range is 4,500 nautical miles. And she's got reduced noise and vibration.
Mm-hmm. And the back to the interiors, Luca Dini, design and architecture, is behind them, Italian designer, alongside a personal decorator of the owner, which is nice, an added touch. Six cabins, a reconfigured atrium that sets it apart from a previous 55 meters, as well as a larger sun deck, which is lovely, with some L-shaped seating, a bar, and a DJ booth, which is a really fun touch. I do like it when yachts include that. Same as the dance floor.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you know what? Whenever I hear or say anyone saying DJ, I automatically think of you. And no, it's not because Dea's behind the DJ decks all the time, but it is your initials.
Yeah, my initials, Dea Yusufi, DJ. So it's a nice little nickname. I feel like everybody is usually referred to by their initials in the beginning, but now it's just become me. Like, no one really calls me Dea anymore. Everyone calls me DJ.
That's very true, actually. Yeah.
Like, I don't call you HM, you're Holly.
No, but I do sign off all my messages and emails internally, maybe externally sometimes. Mm-hmm. That's when you know. That's when it's like, okay, we're friends here.
HM kiss.
HM kiss.
Yeah.
But yeah, that made me laugh. So also, back to Soulmates. In terms of the materials and decor, there's oak, there's metallic fabrics, there's alabaster, marbles, crystals, bespoke furnishings with attention to family use, basically.
And to facilitate the owner and the owner's family, they've also optimized crew circulation for discreet service.
Very nice. Yeah. And lastly, we've got the 78-meter Amels Full Custom Energy. So she was designed as a home away from home with Monaco as her base.
Yeah, this yacht has actually already led the boat briefing newsletter. I've read the yacht report. It's wonderful. But yeah, she has exterior design and naval architecture, actually, by Espen Oyner, described as robust yet elegant, with lots of protected outdoor spaces and a convertible sort of indoor-outdoor flow, which is becoming increasingly popular.
Absolutely. And her interior is equally as impressive. It's that beautiful Zoretti design. She's got Asian-inspired warmth. She's got that kind of continuity with the exterior. So there's an upper deck saloon. There's the master suite with the terrace and spa pool. And she's also got a 12.5 meter jet pool.
Oh, well, the jet pool is very cool. But something that I'm quite fond of is she has a main deck office that is also a martial arts room.
So cool.
Like,
also convertible into a cinema.
You know, as if there wasn't enough going on. But fantastic. And then bridge deck piano bar, which is a little bit more conventional but still incredibly cool, and a sun deck entertainment bar with another DJ setup.
DJ,
everybody loves a party.
And then in terms of guest and crew comfort, she can host 27 crew across 500 meters squared, and then she's got tenders on the main deck aft. She's got wellness facilities with a sauna, hammam, massage room, gym, you name it.
I'm pretty caught up on that crew number, 27 crew.
Yeah, sorry, I glossed over that, but
that's immense. Sorry, maybe
I'm wrong. 27 crew, actually, yeah.
That's a very well-tended yacht.
Fantastic. It is, and actually, the thing is, you become almost desensitized in our roles.
Yeah, yeah.
You write about so many yachts and about so many numbers every day. Actually, when you see something like that,
that's a classroom.
Yeah, that is actually insane, isn't it?
Well, okay, anyway, in regards to performance, she has two MTU engines. She has a pump jet. She has NIAID stabilizers, dynamic positioning, just all of trinkets and bells and whistles, which results in a long range cruising of 5,000 nautical miles. So she's pretty hefty. She can go a long way.
Yeah, very impressive indeed. So I'd say that's three pretty good yachts there. And I don't even think we've done it justice. You know, we've pulled out the key features on board. But if you really want to sink your teeth into some juicy features and hear it much better from the writers and the editors themselves who've written the reports, then make sure to give those a read. And then you can be the most clued up person on the docks.
Absolutely.
Step on board, have your own facts to hand. So obviously, yeah, there's like the thrill of magic, the refinement of soulmates, and that kind of home from home luxury of energy. But yeah, I'd say Monaco 2025 promises a diverse and compelling fleet.
100%.
So to wrap up, I'm curious, Daya, what are you most excited to see?
I'm going a little off piste here, maybe, and I'm going to say it's the sailing yachts. what's funny? What's funny about that? I love, honestly, so I'm not much of a sailor. I barely sailed at all. I think I've rowed, never sailed, but I just think they're so beautiful, and I love the experience of being on board them. So I think, what have we got? We've got Katana, we've got Seven, we've got Be Cool. I would say that Monaco is giving Sail a proper spotlight, which is really, really good to see.
Definitely, yeah. It's always nice. And you actually had a bit of a sailing encounter yourself.
I did.
Last week.
So
you went to Monaco Classic Week.
I did. I took a little trip down from Cannes to visit. I don't remember what day it was, but I remember it was the day when all the reavers went out. And that was honestly a really, really incredible sight. It was 50 of these, like, you know, glossy wooden reavers, like the classic.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, it was, yeah, obviously Classic Week. And they all went out en masse. It was this big cloud of just glossy teak. I just thought it was gorgeous. I took a bunch of videos, actually, and I sent it to Naomi, our head of socials. So I'm sure...
expect that on the social.
Well, I hope so. I hope they were good enough. We'll see.
You're now questioning whether your footage was up to scratch.
Hasn't been uploaded yet, so maybe not. But yeah, that was fantastic. And what about you, Holly? What are you most excited for?
Oh, well, canapes aside, I am watching, I think, the eco side of Monaco this year. You know, will the hybrid buzz we saw at Cannes carry into Monaco at the top end of the market?
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see. And for our listeners, don't forget to follow our live blog throughout the week. We'll both be back in our news anchor seats. Plus, there'll be mini-series, behind-the-scenes coverage, and all the news as it breaks. So there's lots to keep track of and look forward to.
Yeah, and so you can find all of that across our social channels. So make sure to follow us on Instagram, LinkedIn, all the usual platforms.
Yeah. Follow my personal.
Follow my personal. Here's my plug. And also, you know, make sure that you signed up to all our fantastic newsletters. Boat Briefing is our daily newsletter, which Daya knows all too well about because she is the editor of that newsletter. So you can expect all the action into that newsletter. Mm-hmm. We also have our Boat Pro business newsletter, which has market insights, brokerage updates, the industry's kind of big stories there. We have Deep Dive, which is
your domain,
my domain, which is kind of our luxury and long read newsletter, which goes out on a Saturday. And then, sorry, you're probably all sick of hearing about newsletters by this point, but I want to make sure that you're all signed up because they're really great. So rounding off the week is Editor's Choice, which goes on a Sunday. And that is my personal pick of the top five big stories of the week. So make sure to sign up to all of those ahead of the show and they will land in your inbox first thing.
Earlier and earlier.
And as Daya said, the live blog is where you can catch all of our content as it's happening. It's rolling coverage, which you can find on the homepage of the Boat International website. So that's it. That's a wrap for the Cannes debrief and the Monaco preview Boat Briefing podcast. So big thank you to my co-host today, Daya.
Thank you for having me. And I've got the taste for it now. So I'll be seeing you all next week.
Yeah, look, we'll have you back anytime. So yeah, thank you very much. And for those of you in the industry, we will see you there next week.
Yeah.
in the chaos of Monaco.
See you soon.
See you soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to this week's Boat Briefing podcast, which was a production of Boat International Media. I really hope you enjoyed our Cannes Chaos debrief and our Monaco warm-up. Don't forget to like and subscribe for more amazing interviews and regular updates from the world of superyachting. At risk of quoting the infamous Earth, Wind and Fire song too closely, it's shaping up to be a September to remember. For more on any of the topics discussed in the episode, you can find the links below. I'm Holly Majerison, joined today by Dea Yousufi, and we'll see you dockside.